teacher talk, it's teacher talk. Education, dedication, collaboration. We need some inspiration. Public schools and private tools. It's analytical, it's so political, it's teacher talk.
Welcome to Teacher Talk. We discuss education policies, challenges in the classroom, and we invite special guests to look back over their school age years and to give their input on education policies today. Callers are provided anonymity, and you do not have to identify yourself, others, or your location. Let's get started. This is Teacher Talk.
You look at the low salary, and then you get into the classroom. That, you know, there are some teachers who have to deal with student behavior, a lack of parental support, and then when you don't have administrators who are showing their support and helping with teacher self-care, and then just piling on just more things on your plate, you get really frustrated.
That's Will Deamport. It's appropriate to say that Will is an influencer in education on digital media.
Will, when we look at the number of teachers leaving the classroom, what do you see as a resolution to that? What would you have, you know, other teachers listen as, you know, something that they can, you know, latch on to for hope?
What needs to happen is recruitment. I know in my state alone, you know, we've gone from in the past having 7,000 people graduate from teacher education programs to 700.
That's Mississippi, right?
That's in Mississippi. You can see with that dramatic drop, and with the fact that people are leaving, people are freaking out. Like, what are we going to do? And that's where the recruitment piece come in, because you have to. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but outside of education, you know, saying teachers aren't doing enough, or teachers are lazy, or making decisions about the classroom that affect what teachers do, but they themselves have never been in the classroom, never worked at the school. You know, it gets to a point where teachers are like, if I'm going to get this much flack, I should get paid for it. And they're just rolling out.
They should not get dumped on. You know, I can recall mentoring a few teachers that were new, first year, 2 year. I'll even go as far as saying that a 3 year teacher is still a fairly inexperienced teacher to some degree. They get sometimes the worst students, a schedule that's not really favorable for, you know, a first year teacher. Do you see that?
I do, because the new teachers or people who have very little experience are often the ones who are thrown in classrooms where they may not be necessarily prepared for the behavior in the classroom. And when you look at all the other stuff they have to do, you know, with planning and grading and parent-teacher conferences and staying after school for school events or faculty meetings that sometimes, you know, like, this could have been done in an email. Why are we meeting after school? you know, that stuff add up over the year. And sometimes I don't even know if administrators understand that. You know, it's nothing, not everyone, but some teachers have their own families.
For some reason, it seems that you just have to take it.
Yeah, I think about that often when I look at what's going on, or when I hear teachers say that, you know, they're frustrated because, you know, administrators will say, hey, well, why aren't you doing this with your classroom management? Or why aren't you following these rules? Why aren't you doing that? And, you know, teachers are like, well, I've tried to do this with the dress code, or I've tried to do, you know, follow this PBIS, or I've tried to do X, Y, and Z. But when I send the kids to the office and they come right back and nothing was done, you know, you do that enough, and then they're like, well, I'm done, right? So I'm not dealing with it anymore, because you're not dealing with it on your end.
Will Deamport, thank you so much for joining us on Teacher Talk. We will continue to follow you on YouTube and on all your social media. Let's go now to our next caller. Welcome to Teacher Talk, caller. Tell me about the day that you said, I'm thinking about leaving this classroom.
The day that I said to myself, I'm thinking about leaving this classroom, I was working in a third grade classroom, and I had a third grader that was medicated, but the medication wasn't properly administered, not by his parent, guardian, or by the school at that time. And the third grader had a yo-yo in the classroom, and I asked for the yo-yo. He refused to give it to me, and he hit a little girl with the yo-yo. And I rushed over to grab it, and he wrapped it around my hand and was pulling on it. And I could see that my fingers were getting cut by the string on the yo-yo. And I didn't want to retaliate against the child. I just wanted him to stop. I didn't know what I had to do to get him to stop. And I asked him to sit down, and he did. But the look on his face made me afraid. And I've never been afraid of an 8-year-old before. My challenges with parents range from parents not adhering to the hours that I can meet with them after classroom time, and them coming in the middle of the day, bursting into my classroom, to the parent not checking homework and making sure that the required assignments were completed.
Caller, thank you so much for sharing with us your story. Please come back and talk again. Let me go to another caller. This teacher left the traditional classroom, but is still teaching.
Tell me about your instruction.
Well, presently, I am teaching in a prison. I'm teaching women who are incarcerated.
Now, I have to ask, you did not start out in your occupation as a teacher to be teaching in prison now, did you?
No, not at all. Not at all.
How did you come about the decision to leave your more traditional classroom and then go to what is definitely a different pedagogy? Can you tell us about that?
For me, learning is not about taking a test. So the classroom, regular like public school classroom, was just not, it was very unfulfilling for me. So I just decided that that was not the job for me. And I'm a big believer in meeting students where they are. And a lot of times the lesson plans that I was teaching were not really conducive to the students that I was working with in their learning needs or practices.
Okay, well, let's get back to where you are now. Tell us about your students. Are they young? Are they much older, mature? You know, is there a general description of your students?
I still wanted to be an educator. I still wanted to teach. And I kind of ended up in the college situation. And technically, all of my students would be classified as adults, but they can vary in age from 18 to 60. We have a lot of people in our class that have not finished high school. A lot of them have had jobs. They were wanting to make changes, and I am there to help them get the skills they need so that they can.
Well, it's always nice to have time. Pardon the pun.
Yes.
It's always
nice
to have time to take, to educate yourself. People have shared with us some really challenging times in the classroom, and now here you are, you know, out of the classroom, but you're in a prison.
I actually feel safer in the prison than I did in some of the classrooms I taught in. Most of the prisons that I work in are well-staffed there. They have social workers, parole officers, and people that work there that we're all trying to provide resources for these inmates so that when they do return to the public, they are prepared and ready for employment, educational opportunities to get ready. I feel safer in the prison than I did in some of my classrooms because of the staff that is actually there, that is actually dedicated to the inmates and their return to society.
Caller, thank you. Connect with us again very soon. When we come back from a very short break, we are going to speak with an expert on getting you money. We also have a call from California. We'll be right back on Teacher Talk.
Teacher Talk is sponsored by Weather Wonder Incorporated, an early learning science advocate. For more information, log on to lisamoser.com. And if you would like to participate in an upcoming show, click on to the Teacher Talk blog for details. Now back to Teacher Talk.
Welcome to Teacher Talk. Kimberly Stellers-Bakes, she is president of KSTB. I found her via social media. Kimberly, for those listening, tell us, how do we get in touch with you?
You can always reach us via email at ksTB at KSTBEnterprises.com.
One of the things that really struck me when, you know, I first learned of all of your services is that teachers, you don't have to go out of your pocket.
Oh, no.
For anything. I mean, all kinds of funding for everything. And I'm guilty. I'm one of those teachers. Before I learned to write grants, science teachers in particular go in their pocket a lot.
Oh, yes. And my sister is a teacher. She's been teaching for about 20 years. And she kept saying, oh, I have to buy this and I have to buy that. And I said, you do know you can get grant funding or donations. And she said, really? So now she doesn't come to me anymore.
For everything.
I taught her how.
I mean, I feel obligated to share that with everyone because, trust me, when I talk to different teachers, that's one of their biggest complaints.
Yes.
Is that they're coming out of their pocket.
We only take appointments at this time because so many people are looking for grants. They are always flooding our doors. So if you want to make an appointment to speak with me or one of my very capable staff members, contact us on our website. You can actually make the appointment on the website, or you can call our office or email us.
And I will have the website up on our post. So when we look at some of the needs that we have so that we don't come out of pocket, you mentioned that it's best to have a wish list.
Yes.
So as an individual or as a group for the school, come with a wish list. Now, are we talking like four or five things that are kind of in common? Can we go the gamut? Give us a little bit more instruction on how do we put a wish list together. I'm new in my classroom and I need everything.
Yes. What I would like for you all to do is let us know what your project is, because we may have already had someone else to request it. And so we're not starting from zero. We can say, hey, this worked for this client. So let us know what the project is. Let us know what your goal is. Is your goal to provide 25 laptop computers to your class? What exactly is the goal? Because we may go to more than one funder in terms of organizations or grants, or like I said earlier, even individuals. So let us know as much as possible. And so after you tell us what the project is and the goal is, say these are the items that we need. You don't have to give us a short list. As a matter of fact, I encourage people to think big. So don't think just for this year. I know there are several students who live in food insecure areas. We have several clients who have contacted us to get food for their students, and we have reached out to organizations, and they take home food for the weekends, for the evenings, and not just potato chips, and we make it happen. There are kids who need coats. There are kids who need pencils.
Again, we're talking with Kimberly Bates. She is the president of KSTB.
Kimberly, thank you so much for your time today. I have another caller. He's in California. Raymond?
How do you see the school system?
Well, you know, it's a very good question because, as I said, you know, being a retired police officer, I spent quite a few years working as a school resource officer. So basically, that, you know, being the police officer assigned to a school campus. So I've had a chance to see most teachers are there because obviously they want to be there. They're dedicated to doing their job. And, you know, and I just think most teachers would give me a right arm. Now, I think also on the other side of that, I think sometimes where the teachers get the least amount of support from the public, from, you know, parents, and, yeah, teachers are there to help your child learn. But they're not responsible for your children's moral compass. You are, as a parent.
The fact that teachers deserve and need more community support. Why do you think it is that teachers aren't getting that?
Well, I think obviously they get blamed a lot. You listen to these announcers and listen. Teachers basically are there to turn our children into abortion-loving, liberal, leftist homosexuals, you know, but it's just ridiculous. And I think people get that, you listen to that stuff, obviously, then you look at the media, you see basically where teachers aren't being paid, you know, where the profession is not valued. And I guess maybe it may sound crazy, but I think everything comes from being a teacher. Obviously, you're a lawyer, you had to spend time in school. I mean, you had instructors, you had professors that taught you that profession.
And I also want to point out that, you know, I'm in Georgia, you're in California. So we're having similar problems all across the country.
Thank you, Raymond. And thank you to all the callers today. That's going to do it for this edition of Teacher Talk. Please connect with me online on social media. I'm Dr. Lisa Moser. And until next time, have a great learning day.
It's Teacher Talk, it's Teacher Talk. Education, dedication, collaboration. We need some inspiration. Public schools and private tools. It's analytical, it's so political. It's Teacher Talk, it's Teacher Talk.